Morning, Boker Tov, Freilich and Purim. Today's daf is by Messiah Daf Chafei. From Messiah Daf Chafei, we left off. We didn't quite get to the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Dalam Beis. We're about 10, 15 lines before that. Let's pick it up from Hahu Daye. Hahu Daye. We actually, we're right into the wide lines, a couple lines before even the two dots, right into the where the lines get wide. Hahu Daye, there was this vulture, the Shaka Bashuka, that took meat into the market, the Shad, or took meat in the market, the Shad Bitsilasi to Bay Barmerian. And he threw it between the palm branches of Barmerian. Askamay Dabai came from Dabaya. Amalei Zilk Shekel Navshach. They came from Dabaya. Dabaya said, no problem, go take it for yourself. Gemara explains, in fact, Gemara, the Ruba Yisrael Nenu, the Chayr, this is a case where most of the people living in the area were Yidden. Shema Amin Alakha B'Shem Milazar, after the Brave Yisrael. So if you recall, we left off, we were discussing on Erev Shabbos, we were discussing on the shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar was that if something's lost in Rishis Rabim, even with Simanim potentially, you're still concerned, the guy who loses it, it's concerned, it's never going to get back to him, it's too busy of a thoroughfare. And then we had a debate, first of all, whether Shimon ben Elazar himself said it, Dafka by Rav Akam, or even by Rav Yisrael, and whether Chamag argue or agree, but says the Gemara over here, you see for this case of Bisra, which was a place of Rav Yisrael in that scenario, and we're still saying it's mutter, it must be even Rav Yisrael, at least Rishim Elazar was mekel. Says Amar, no. Shiny diyoy, when the vulture grabs the meat, that's different. You know why? Because we had earlier that something which is grabbed by the sea is considered, the owner considers for sure it's gone. The vulture taking it is as if it was taken by the sea, separate cheshbon, nothing to do with the rabbim. And getting into Rav Shimon Elazar's conversation, whether because it's a rabbim, even Rabbim Yisrael, or maybe only Rav Kananim, you don't get into that conversation at all because we're talking about a vulture, and that itself is considered law. Says Gemara. We have a new issue. Look, everyone was bothered. Forget about the issue of Metziah, of whether it's mutter or not, whether it's Yish, the piece of meat that came from the middle of nowhere, how do you know it's kosher? In fact, Gemara of Amarav, Basa Shazam and Ayin Aser, Basa that was out of the eye's sight, becomes Aser. So while here is a mutter, the case is where Barmerian was standing and he saw the meat the second the vulture took it, all until he dropped it, it was the same piece of meat, so it wasn't swapped out for anything, so we knew the meat was kosher. That wasn't the issue. The issue is the achiv of Hashava, achiv calling it out to the fellow who lost it. The answer is no, there's yish over there, but not necessarily because of the fact that it was dropped in a place where there's a big majority, there's a lot of people there, but rather because it was taken by a vulture, so not a raya to our prior discussion. The Gemara says, still, let's try being raya. Rechina found a gedi, a baby goat that was shechted. Between Tver and Tzibari, in between Tver and Tzibari, in between those cities, Vitirulai, and the Chamim were matir him to eat this meat, to keep the meat and eat it. Amram Ami, Hitirulai Mishim Metziah, Kirb Shimon Elazar. The fact that they said it's mutter to keep it financially is because we won't like Kirb Shimon Elazar that even something, I'm going to explain, but even something which is lost amongst Rav Yidden because it was lost in a place which was a lot of people traveling there. Therefore, it's mutter. And Rav Shimon Elazar said even by Rav Yidden. And Mishab Shchita, the Amata Shchita, well, what's on that? Meaning who says the Shchita was done by a kosher Sheikhet? Shab Chedina Benai, Shab Yisag Lili, the Tanya, Harisha Abdullah Yidav Tarnagaylov, a person lost his chickens or his baby goats, and he found them shachet. Rabbi Da'i Sweetzak says to Aser, because was scared that maybe the shechita wasn't done properly. However, he's matir, so we're being matir over here, like the shechita of Chanina, B'nai Shabbos Aglili. Amar Rabbi. Rabbi then said about this, and Chanina, B'nai Shabbos Aglili, whether you could assume the shechita was done properly. Rabbi said as follows, Nirin Divri Rabbi Yehuda, Shematz Mashba, if you find them in the garbage pile, these shechted animals, then you could assume like a Rabbi Yehuda that it's Aser. Then it makes sense to go to Buddha. And by Devin, because even if they try to shechta properly, they messed up, and that's why they threw it in the garbage. However, but if you find these shechta birds or baby goats in the bias, then you can assume a shechta properly, and we pass like a in that case, that it's going to be kosher. Okay. Now, says Gemara, we're trying to bring rise to our discussion. Rabbi Shimon Elazar said a klal, something lost in a big thoroughfare is mutter. And we had a whole bunch of shayles on it, whether he's talking Dafka Brei Vakam, even Rav Yisrael, and whether the Rabbanon agree or disagree, and if they agree, if they disagree, what they disagree on. We had a whole slew of questions. So now we're trying to bring raya, at least, we're saying that's mutter because of shechita. We're saying the shechita is not a concern. That means rave of the people that would have come in contact with animals and shechted it would be Yidden. So that's a raya that we're talking a place of Rav Yisrael. Rubi Sodanu. Must be talking about a scenario where it's Rav Yisrael. Shema Amin Alacha B'Shem Ben Elazar. I feel Rav Yisrael. So Alacha of keeping the Metziah when it got lost in a busy busy place is even when it's Rav Yisrael. That seems to be right. At least a right to that part of the Shaila, that one Shaila, in Rav Shem Ben Elazar, that he's saying it even by Rav Yisrael. Amar Rava. Gemara says Rava is going to deflect the raya. Rav Kananim, Rav Tabach Yisrael. Not so fast. Who's talking about Rav Yisrael? The fact that they're Matar Shchita is just a raya that rave of the people that would shechted are Yidden. Rave of the butchers are Yidden. But maybe we're talking about a place which is rave Gayim, and the butcher business is very, very, very concentrated with Yidden. And therefore you can assume the Shchita was done properly, but it's not a raya that had been rave Yisrael, you'd be able to keep the item. Says Gemara, Rav Ami Ashkech Pargiyos, Shchutais, Bein Tveria, Lit Tzipari. Rav Ami found Pargiyot, they call that till today, same name, for like chicken, or shechted birds between Tveria and Tzipori. Askam and Rasi. Rav Ami came from Rasi to ask him what halach is. Rav Ami loved to come in Tveria, so he came from Tveria. Rav Ami loved in Rasi, so I'm saying he came in front of the base medrash. Three options. Rav Asi, he came to Tveria, or he came to base medrash. Rav Ami lay, either way, the response was, Zilshak Lavshak, go take it for yourself. You're allowed to keep it. L'chayra, we're talking about a case where it was found. You're allowed to keep it, meaning and eat it, presumably. We're talking about shchutes. So you invite to have this a raya l'chayra. We have raya to what we were debating a moment ago. The Gemara doesn't spell it out for us, but l'chayra, we have raya that you have a place of Rav Yisrael, otherwise shchita wouldn't be kasher. And still, we're saying you're allowed to keep it. Must be Mishmur Lazar's kula. Though when something falls in a populated place, in a place where there's rabbim, you're allowed to keep it. Applies even if Rav the people there are, even if the people there are Yidden. And the Raya Taka brings a Raya from this story, even though Gemara doesn't spell it out, that's Taka Raya Tar Shaila. However, other Rishonim reject the Raya. They say that it could be over here too, that we could say that the way it works is most of these pigeons that are shechted are really shechted by the people that capture them. They're captured by trappers, and the trappers go and shecht them. And it could be that rave of the trappers were Yidden, just like before we said, rave of the butchers are Yidden. So do we have rave of the trappers are Yidden, if there's no raya. So it's machlekes hashayin, and whether this Gemara, again, it's a raya to the shalav we've been debating, it's not that I'm not to take sides of the conversation, but it'll be very interesting going to the raivid. That was saying it's a raya. The Gemara is going back and forth for a while, trying to make a raya. Finally, being successful raya, doesn't spell it out for us. Doesn't tell us as a raya. So Ravid holds the Ma'aseh. It is a raya, and the Gemara just doesn't spell it out for us, which is a chiddush. Whereas the Ran and the Rashba hold, no, it's not a raya because the Gemara can say a similar answer, a similar deflection as we just said before. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Ashlik Kibura, he found like rolls of string, da'azi be'azule, that the trappers used to make nets. He came from either Bechran or in front of the Beis Medrash, whether they can keep it or not. And they said to him, Zil Shkol Nafshcha, go keep it for yourself. So over here, we have no proof b'chlal to the Raya, to the Shaila, because over here, we are potentially talking about a place with Rav Goyim. Only when we were saying that you're allowed to eat the Shechita was an indication that Rav Yidden, that was Asarish at least. Over here, it's not talking about strings the trappers used to make nets. It could be an area of Rav Goyim. So yeah, we're saying you're allowed to keep it, but that would at the most be a riot that we hold in Shemir Lazar when something is lost in a major, like in a very populated area. And it's Rav Kananim, you're allowed to keep it. Our Shaila was Rav Shemir Lazar say, even by Rav Yisrael, a proof for the story we do not have. Zuck the Mishnah. The following have to be called out. Because the reason being, because they have a simon. Again, just to point out again, like Lizer referenced, in Rav Shimon Elazar's din that we were talking about, he's talking about when something falls in a very busy place, even with a simon, the person can be miyayish. But as a general rule, when something has a simon, you have to call it out. When something doesn't have a simon, you don't have to call it out. So our first Mishnah discussed all the items which are standard and do not have simonim, and therefore don't have to be called out. And now we're saying the inverse of a lot of those which have a simon and therefore need to be called out. And they're as follows. Matzah peiris b'kli, if you find peiris inside a kli. It's not just scattered in a kli. A kli kamashu. Or just a kli stamase. That's interesting. Rashi points out the peiris b'kli, the reason why it's a simon, is because the kli has a simon. Rashi says typically a kli is normal for it to have a simon. Stam kli, yesh b'simon. Those are Rashi's words. So the Mefarshim asks, so what's the next words? Matzah peiris b'kli, a kli kamashu, or a kli. Well, obviously, if the peiris you got to return when it's in a kli, it's because stam kli has a simon, so then the kli itself, presumably, presumably you have to return because it's a simple. What's the added level of that chiddush? As I affect the achrayim, I forgot where I saw the question brought. The answer they bring simply is a chiddush rishonim. Actually, I take it back. Chiddush rishonim. Answer the question, and they answer simply that the chiddush is I may have thought that when you have payrus in a kli, you have two simanim. You have the kli stamas as a simon, plus there's a simon as to what fruit were in the kli, which payrus were in the kli. So the guy who lost it will say there's a bowl which has a nick on the bottom left corner. And there were apples inside it. So you'd have two simanim. Maybe dafkadi you return it. Maybe kli alone, just the nick on the right and left corner, maybe wouldn't have enough of a simon. So the Mishnah spells out for us, peiris in the kli, you return it. Agav the kli, yes. And kli alone is a simon. It's adding that kneich of a chiddush. Okay. Mais bekis, money in a purse. Aikish kamaishu, same idea again. Money in a purse or a stama purse has simanim, and therefore you have to call it out. Tziburiya peiris, a pile of peiris, as opposed to mufazarius. Tziburiya mais, a pile of coins. Top of chavim alaf, shalisha matbeya zuagav. Three coins, one on top of the other. Krichas b'shizyachad, bundles, small bundles, but in a private area. The kirish of balabayas, or bread, loaves of bread made by the balabayas, which are unique. B'gizei tzemer al-kuchim v'esa uman, or the strips of wool, not that were brought from Medina that were unprocessed. This is that already brought to the Medina, to the uman, and were processed. And therefore, there's a simon, the way that Uman processes it. Kade yayin, jugs of wine, kade shemen, jugs of oil. Harvei chavachos, all these cases, you have to call it out. We had the case of kade yayin, kade shemen. We just had it on the chavdalad, and we spoke at then that kade yayin, kade shemen, the maila, the reason we have to call it out is because usually there's a seal, and the seal presents a simon. Okay, says the Gemara. Taima, the matzah peiros, pekli, mais pekli, bekis. The reason why you have to call out is because the mais was found, the peiros were found in the kli, and the money was found in the wallet. The purse. How kli the fun of payers, because the fun of payers, harishalai. But make a diak that if it was a kli and the money's right there, the payers are right near the kli, or it's a purse, and the money's right outside the purse, harishalai, you'd be able to keep those, payers. The money belongs to the finder. The fact that it's right nearby, circumstantial evidence, is not enough. Says Gemara, Tani Hadot Tala Money, we have a right to this. Matzah b'kli, if you find the kli, you find the kli and right in front of the kli is payrus. Kiss the front of mice, you find a purse and in front of it is money. In all these cases, the money, the produce, belong to the finder. Whereas, if you find the payrus, some in the kli, some in the ground, or the purse, some in the kli, the money, some in the purse, and some in the ground, then you have to call it out. So, okay, so the Dika Mishnah fits well with the Brisa, but we have a question. For a minute, we have a stira. If you find something which has a simon, or something which does not have a simon, next to something which has a simon, you have to call out. We say the item with the simon is an indicator just not only for itself, but for the item that's next to it. Says the Brisa further, what if the guy with the item with the simon, let's say in our example, the kli, came and took the kli, took his item, and he did not take the other thing next to it, he said the payrus are not mine. The item without a simon, he left there, he admitted it wasn't his. Then Malach is Zachalah, but the finder in that case is Zaycha to that which doesn't have a simon. But what do you see? It's very clear in the second Brisa, even though it's totally outside the Kli has a simon, whereas the Paris that are outside it do not have a simon. And we don't attribute, according to the second Brisa, we do attribute the Paris to the Kli. So our Mishnah and our first Brisa seem to say only when the Paris are in the Kli do they have to be called out. And we utilize the simon of the kli for the paris as well. But if they're outside the kli, it's on its own, and the finder is able to keep the paris. Whereas in the second price, we seem to be saying that you would attribute it to the kli, even if it's outside totally, and only if the guy takes it and admits it's not his, are you able to keep the paris. We have a stira in the prices. The Gemara's going to give a few terutzim, a bunch of terutzim. Before you see terutzim, there is a very strong question from the Kseis HaChayshim. Kseis asked that there's a whole sugya in Bava Basra called Rav V'Karev. Rav V'Karev. If you have a Rav, and you have Karev. So Rav says, Rav tells me, the majority tells me that in a case of Suffolk, X. But the proximity tells me Y. So in our case, let's go to our case. Rav of the pairs in the world, Rav of the pairs in this world are not from this Kli. Right? This Kli, there's a Kli over here, and this pair is right outside the Kli. Rav of the pairs are not from this Kli. Whereas the Karev tells me that these pairs came from the Kli. So the chur, there's a sugya, whether or not you go bas a rav, you go bas a karev. Why over here are we, we have to see that, we still have a stira that we're dealing with, but why are we not employing that concept of rav v'karev? And let's just say in our Mishnah, in the first Braisa, that we're saying that the Peres HaMuta should be Aser, because Karev, let Karev win, or let Rav win, we pass him Rav wins, let's say Rav should win, why would Karev win? That's the Ksesis question. So first, he tells to a Ramban, the Ksesis brings a Ramban, the Ramban brings that in a case where you have something that's inside something, that's much stronger than Karev. So Peres in a Kli are stronger than Karev. Since the Peres are in the Kli itself, that's stronger than Karev, and therefore, Karev is going to win in such a case. That would be an answer why we'd say over here that even if normally Rav wins, Karev could win over here because the pairs were in the Kli. But the question, obvious question is, our whole discussion is a case where the pairs were found outside the Kli. The pairs, when the pairs are in the Kli, of course we say the halach is that the simon on the Kli is the simon of the pairs. That wasn't our question. Our discussion over here is with the pairs outside the Kli, do we go bus a Rav or do we go bus a Karev? Well, the fact that the pairs may have once been in the Kli is not helping us because right now it's not on the Kli. That's the whole point. So the Chazam Sefer answers the question. Chazam Sefer wants to say that in our case, we have a Bari and a Shema. Even if you hold Rav a Karev, Rav beats Karev normally, but in our case, you have Bari v'Shema, meaning the fellow who found it, he's a Shema, he has no clue if the Peres are part of the Kli or separate. The fellow who lost it is claiming, Bari, this is my Kli and this is my Peres. And therefore, over here, since you have a Bari claim, you have a Bari claim from the fellow who lost it, he's claiming Bari, that it was his. Therefore, over here, Rav will lose to the Karev, even if normally Rav beats the Karev. Over here, Karev beats out. That is the Chamsefer's answer. Okay, there's other truths with Achrenim, but let's leave it at that. By the way, if Ayom is coming for 615, I don't think there's a 615 million. Maybe you can make one. I don't think there is. Just FYI. Okay, says more further. I'm Rav Zvid. Like Asha, Habakuva Habakissa. So the question is, we have a stira in the Brises, whether or not being next to proximity to the Kli is an indication enough to return the Paris. Or not, says the Gemara, like Kasha, Rav Zvid answers, it depends what type of pears. If it's flax, or if it's like, let's say, a fruit, or fruits or vegetables. If it's flax, says the Gemara, a barrel with flax, or a basket with produce. The derech is, the simple way, we're going to read this, two mahalchim in this, but the simple reading is, a basket of flax, typically when it turns over, the flax doesn't empty, whereas the peiris, it's very normal that when you turn over the peiris fully empty out. So in the brice that says that when it's only outside, you still have to consider it, that's part of the peiris are connected to the kli, and you return the peiris to the kli, it's talking about where it's peiris, where it's normal, where it's normal for it to all fall out. Whereas when it's talking about, when we say that when it's all of it's outside, you don't assume it came together with the kli, came from the kli. That's talking about flax, where the derech is, that the flax will not all fall out of the kli, and therefore the fact that all of it's outside, it must be it didn't come from that kli. That is how, the way we just explained it, is how Rashi learns it. That's how Rashi learns it. Taisus brings a opposite pshat. We're going to leave it with this pshat. Rashi, just to point out, Taisus learns that it's an opposite pshat on the contrary. Taisus is bothered by a question. Taisus starts off, the case we were talking about, we're saying when you're allowed to keep it, you're allowed to keep it when it's flax, because flax isn't supposed to be outside the kli, and therefore you're allowed to keep it in that case. But that's touching up our Mishnah that said matzah peiris outside the kli, you're allowed to keep it. Well, flax is not typically called peiris. Flax is not peiris, so therefore it doesn't. That wouldn't be a help to touch our Mishnah that way. Therefore, Taisus prefers to flip it and say, on the contrary, that it's flax that you can find totally outside the kli, whereas the peiris would be normal that some of it should stay in and some of it would be outside. Okay, well, we're going to go with Rashi's Malach. Rav Papa's answers, Hava b'tzadam peiri. In both cases, we're talking about a basket with peiris. V'leikasha, hadashtai b'midi, hadashtai b'midi. If the basket's completely empty, we don't assume the peiris came from the basket. If the basket has some peiris in it, then we assume that it came from the basket. Okay, third answer. In both cases, the price that says that when you have fruit outside the basket, you're not allowed to keep it, and the other price says you can keep it. What's the chilek? Like Kasha, it's not shver. In both cases, we're talking about empty baskets. Is the opening of the basket facing the peiris? The basket is dumped over, and it's facing the peiris? Or is the opening of the basket the opposite direction? If it's the opposite direction, then we say the peiris did not cover the basket, and therefore you would not have to call out the peiris. You could just keep the peiris. That's peiris mufasaris. Or the case is where the peiris and the basket is opening, the basket is facing the Peiros, then you would have to call out the Peiros, just like the Kli as a Siman. And finally, another answer between the Brises, in both cases, the basket opening can be facing the Peiros, and still, you don't have to call out in one of the cases. Why? Is there a lip, is there a rim around the basket? If there's a rim around the basket, some of the Peiros still should have stayed in. Similar to the idea to the therapist we had earlier, we're just adding a connection now. We're saying that if there's a rim around it, then the fact that it's all out means it must not have come from this basket. But if there's no rim around it, then all the pairs could have easily rolled out, and therefore you would say the pairs come from the basket. Again, if we can assume the pairs came from the basket, just like you have to call out the basket itself, the klisa has a simmon, so to the pairs are part of that simmon. But if the circumstances seem to indicate the pairs did not come from the basket, even though they're right next to each other, did it come from the basket, then even though in the basket you would have to call out, but the pairs you would not have to call out. Says the Gemara further. We send the Mishnah Tzibori Pairs Fitzbar Mice. If there's piles of money, piles of produce, the Mishnah says you gotta return those. Shmamina Minavi Simon. The Gemara says it must be that minion is a simon. The Gemara is assuming that what is the minion over here? What is the minion over here? The minion over here is the number of piles. Right? We're not focused on how many items in the pile right now. The number of piles. We're saying if you find piles, you have to return it. The Gemara is assuming you say the loser, the Baal Aved, is calling out and saying, I lost three piles, I lost two piles, giving the number of piles, that itself is a simon. And it's right, minion is a simon. Jump into Tesfis. Tesfis says, this is your first proof of minion is a simon. Did we forget literally yesterday's daf? Says Tesfis, Afakav the Pshitle, Le'il. Mid the Mishkal have a simon, mid the minion have a simon. We just made a proof yesterday on Erev Shabbos, we said, or yesterday's daf, but we learned on Erev Shabbos, that from the fact that weight is a simon, so Kol Shekein, mid the minion, right, measurements and numbers are for sure are also simon. So who needs what need this raya for? This is not fair. By Luchi Chacham Asisen, we wanted to bring a raya from here as well, from a Mishnah. Before a raya wasn't from Mishnah. This is a raya we're trying to bring from a Mishnah. Not a question. You're right. We already proved the idea. I'll bring another raya now from our Mishnah. Okay. Says Gemara, Shema Mina Minyan Yav Simon. Let's be a raya Minyan Simon. The Gemara says not a raya. Tani Tzibure Peiros. Taich. Read the Mishnah that says Tzibure Peiros. Tzibur Peiros. It was a single pile of Peiros, meaning it wasn't the number of piles. That's the Peiros. That's the Raya. We're talking about a case where there only was one pile of Peiros, not multiple. If it's Tzibur plural, then we can assume maybe it's the number that's being the Simon. If it's only one pile, then the number is definitely not the Simon. So it must be there is another Simon here, not the number of Peiros, but rather maybe the type of Peiros, or more specifically, the Makkah, the place where it was found. A guy called out, I found a pile of Peiros, single pile. The number is not going to be the answer because it's clearly found single. What's going to be the simon? The location, let's say. So Gemara says, okay, good. Let's bring a raya that Makkum's a simon. Says the Gemara, Shema Mina Makkum a simon. So let this be a raya that Makkum's a simon. Answers the Gemara, Tani Tziburi Peiros. Read it to the Mishnah Tziburi Peiros. We're playing devil's advocate, but that's exactly what we're doing. Tziburi Peiros means it's plural, it's piles of Peiros. Meaning, if you want to bring me a raya from our Mishnah that Makkum is a simon, I'll deflect it and say, no, we're talking about piles, plural, and the simon is the number of piles. If you want to be a raya, that number must be a simon, I'll tell you, no, because Tziburi Peiros, singular, and the Makkum is a simon, not the number. The point is that you can't bring me a proof that it's numbers of simon, or that Makkum is a simon, because I can deflect it either way. But you're right, from this Mishnah, the Chayra, one of them is a simon. Piles, numbers of piles, or Makkum, one of them is a simon, we just can't indicate clearly which one it is. The Mishnah says, Shoshma Peis, Zal Gavzeh. If you find three coins, one on top of the other, you have to call that out. Amar Yitzchak Migdala. Keep that name in mind. Rav Yitzchak Migdala calls Paskins, or I should say more, he elaborates. Fusha Asik Migdalan. Three coins, one on top of the other, is itself not necessarily a simon. It has to be like a tower, which we'll see in a couple lines there. What that means is, bigger coin, slightly smaller, right? Like a tower. That's going to be a simon. The iron over here is, his name is Rav Yitzchak Migdala, and his psak was, his explanation was, that it has to be made like a migdalam. So this is not our novelty. Maritzchias points out that this is the only member in Shas from Rav Yitzchak Migdala, and it makes sense. That's what they called him, his name. He got his name because his memra was the memra of the tower. Tainam Yachim. Matzamais Mazaj, one finds scattered coins. Harmila Shalai, he's allowed to keep the scattered coins. Askam Migdalan. If, however, it was arranged like a tower, Chavachu, he's got to call it out because that itself is a simon. It's more than just a simon. It also means he put it down there on purpose. The fact that it was put down that way, it was put down on purpose, and therefore, he didn't lose. It's not considered a lost item. Chavachas ve'elohen, assuming kumidolim. What's considered made like a migdolim? Here we explain. Shalosh by bayim. Three coins, ze agab ze. Three coins, one upon the other. Ask the Gemara. Hagufagasha. You first line, you say, matzah, 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 mat Sounds like if they were not mamish scattered, if they're at least leaning on top of each other, even if they weren't fully on top of each other, they were kind of partially on each other, partially on the ground, but they're not like scattered. You would have to go out. But Ema Seifa, go look at the Seifa where it says, look at the Seifa, where the Seifa says, if it's made like a migdal, you have to call it out. That's mashpa. Dafka, if it's a migdal, it's a pie, a tower, bigger than medium, than smaller. Dafka tower. Ha! But if they were coins were leaning on each other, then it belongs to the one who finds it. The point is, the inference from these two demons of the Brisa is are opposite implications. Why? The Brisa goes to, we'll call it extreme cases. Mephazaris is scattered, and Megdalus is not just piled up, as opposed to scattered, it's piled up in a very organized way of tower. The question is, what's in between? What if it's not scattered, but it's not piled up? It's somewhere in between. The inference of saying that scattered is mutter is mashpa, if it's not scattered, if it's even piled up somewhat haphazardly, then you would have to return it. But by saying it's got to be a tower, then it sounds like only if it's a tower do you have to return it, but less than you don't have to return it. If it's tira. Answer the Gemara. Tana, kol she'ina suki migdal, mefazar is karlu. You're right. Our Tana uses the word mefazar, scattered, a little bit liberally. Scattered means anything that's not piled up in a very organized way, like a tower, we consider it scattered. That's what our Tana calls scattered, and that would be considered mutter. You don't have to be, you're not chayv lachmas. Amar Rav Chanina. Leishan el shashim lachim, aval leishan el shashim lachim. Tafka, if it belongs to three melachim, three different kings, then we say you got to return these coins, these three coins, aval shal melach echad. When the Mishnah says if you have three coins, you have to call it out. If it all belongs to one king, in a chayv lachmas, you don't have to call it out. Amar now is going to elaborate. Hey, Chinami, what is this distinction that Rav Chanina is saying? He dasuyin kimigdalin. If it was being arranged like a tower, afilu shemach echadami. If it was arranged like a tower, even if it was one king, lechayr, it's arranged like a tower. It's clearly the formation itself is a simon, and if we have to call it out, vide ain asuyin kimigdalin. If it was not made like a tower, even if it's three separate kings, if it's not like a tower, we just said it's considered scattered, so it should be mutter regardless. Afilu shashash malachim nami lai. The Mara says you're right. What we mean to say is as follows. If we mean to say a member about three kings, he has to interpret it. It has nothing to do with whether it's three kings or not. Three kings is just a symbol. How so? When we talk about three coins having to be called out, it's talking about a case where it may be from one king even, one currency, one king, but it has to be like from three different kings, meaning three different sizes. You have to have coins that are different sizes and scattered. And I'm going to go on a limb over here and say, what if you have six coins? And you have doubles of the same size, but still, the two biggest ones are on the bottom, the two medium are in the middle, and the two small ones are on top. Of course, you have the same. That's the same idea. It's very clear that it's set up in an organized way. So that's the point. The point is that it's got to be like Shleish Melachim. That what? That it's different sizes. Typically, different kings, different kingdoms have different coins of different sizes, and it can be made like a migdal. That's when you got to return it. Revichat Ata, the widest one is on the bottom. The medium one's on top of the widest one. And the smallest one's on top of the medium one. Because we say very clearly, it was placed down. It's anacha. But if it's of one king, it's all equal size. Then even if the line went on top of the other, happened to fall down that way. They all fell down at the same time. It fell down one on top of the other. But that itself is not a simon. It's not clear that it was unorganized. It's not clear that it was put down. And therefore, if it's all the same king, we would not be able to assume that that's a simon slash it was put there on purpose. Again, the point is, if it's the same kingdom and they have multiple, like we have in most currencies today, you have bigger coins and smaller coins. You have your quarter, your nickel, your dime, different size coins, right? Your tuni, your loony. Then, the same thing the halach would apply. It would be shaykh to have an organized fashion of having the coins one on top of the other. We're talking about, the assumption was the same kingdom would be the same coin, that's all it represents, and therefore it would be no clear raya, that no clear simon, that it was placed on a purpose. Says more further. Rabbi Echad argues, even coins of the same size, even coins of the exact same size, nami machris, you also call it out. Coins of the exact same size, you call out. My machris, the more one said, what do you call out? I mean, the point is if it's stacked. Coins of the exact same size that are stacked, you would also call it out. My machris, what do you call out? Minyan. You call out the minyan. My tlasa feels nami. L'chor, the Gemara's assumption is you're calling out the amount of, meaning the amount of coins. You're saying, I found this about the coins. So if that's what you're calling out, why dafka when it's three, even if it's two? Ravina, we had this idea already earlier in the past couple of blat. Tiva machris. No, you're not calling out the number of coins. You're calling out that I found coins. And then the person who lost it, the person who lost it has to give you the exact number. You're calling out that you found coins, and the person who lost it has to tell you the number in order to claim the coins. Kishir mahu. What if the coins were arranged like a bracelet? Kishir mahu. So the coins are either arranged like a bracelet, or the coins are arranged in a line, in an even line, which these are things that are unusual to happen. These formations don't happen typically by themselves. So the assumption would be that it happened on purpose, deliberately, which means, so I'm putting it there, which itself, first of all, means it's not really considered accidental, it's not lost. Number one, also, it could be considered that itself could be the, potentially be the simon. Kechatzuva, where if it's arranged like a tripod, like a triangle. Kesulam, where if it's arranged like a ladder, one on top of the other. Mao, what's going to be in all these cases? Pshayt mechada, be patient, at least one of the shaylas. Be patient, one of the shaylas. The Amar, Rav Nachman, Amar Bavua, kol shi l'machnas l'kisa minayim, if you could put a sliver of wood in between it, v'naitlam, v'vasachas, and lift it all up together, chayv l'achras. So this last case is a case where you could put a little piece of wood in the bottom, and because it's like a ladder, it's one on top of the other, you can lift it all together. So in that case, that's considered enough of a formation. That's for sure was done purposefully, and therefore you'd have to return it. So we at least replace it, the last shiloh. What about the other ones? The other ones, the chayyim main, are resolved. This gets back to our machlekes. What happens by a metziah, by a shiloh about a metziah, whether or not you have to call out, whether or not it's considered an aved that they have to machrus or not. So we have a machlekes. We have a Rambam says, you don't pick it up, you don't take it. But if you took it, you got to keep it. Other Rishonim say that no, l'chumri, you got to call it out. L'chur, the shayla do we view it as a shayla in mammon? Is it a shayla in mammon? Or is it a shayla in, is it a shayla in isser? Right? A suffix in isser, you go l'chumra. A suffix in mammon, you go a suffix in isser, if it's a suffix in isser, you go l'chumra, yes. If it's a suffix in mammon, we say amitzi mechaveir al varaya. And therefore, you wouldn't have to call it out. That's Rambam saying. You don't have to call it out l'chathila. But you don't have to. You're not supposed to keep it. But if you take it, you can keep it because it's a mechaveri alav haraya. Okay, boy Ravashi. Answer Ravashi shayla. If the coins are arranged like the stones of the house of kulis. Now it's interesting. Jump to Ravashi. Markulis vishem avaydazara. Markulis avaydazara. Marz explains exactly how they worship avaydazara. But same avaydazara. There is a halacha that we're not supposed to use even a base of avaydazara as a reference point. As a place of a, you know, as a landmark of, oh, go past that corner over there by the base of Avodah Zarah. You're not supposed to use it. And here we're using it as a setup for coins. So the Mefarshim discuss, the Mishnah already discussed this, that L'chaira, the name, look at the top Taisvis. Mekana Rebbe Tam, Dein Shem Avodah Zarah Markulis. The name of the Avodah Zarah was not Markulis, Ela Kulis, like we see elsewhere. And on the contrary, the Chachamim made that Leshna Lignaiv. Go three lines down Taisvis. The Chachamim Hichlifu Lignai Lashin Lag Vekelis. They changed the lush to be gnai to be lag vakela. So we're using that lush of the chamim of base kulis is lush of gnai. There was some other name for the vajzara, and the chamim gave a lush of gnai, and therefore we can use over here also as a symbol for our kishayla about the finding of metziah in such a form because it's really lush of gnai. Okay, so says the Tashima, the Tanya. We learned in a Bryce. The Marzen explained, by the way, what kulis is. Kulis is almost like we do at brick layers. Like you have two on the bottom layer, and with a little separation in between, and then one on top of it. So you have two coins with a little separation, and then one on top of it. That's the idea. We'll see in a second. Tashma Tayyum Dinabaisa. You find mice that was scattered. Hari Elish Lai, the money belongs to the finder. Kavni Beis Kulis, if you find the mice, like Avni Beis Kulis, then Chayim Lachas, you have to call it out. Ve'elein Avni Beis Kulis, what is Avni Beis Kulis? We just broke out. Achas Mikam, one on each side. Vachas Agabem, and one on top of the two of them, right? In between the two of them, the one rests on top. A little bit on this one, a little bit on that one. That is the setup of Avi Beskulis. Tana Rabbanan, very often the way they lay bricks or stones. Tana Rabbanan, Hamaitzi Sela B'Shuk. One who finds a Sela coin in the marketplace. Umatzchaver Ramalei's friend finds him and says, Shli, it's mine. Chadashi, it's new. The friend, the one who lost it, says, I'm going to give you a description of the coin. It's a brand new coin. Neiranasu, it's a coin of Niran Kazer, Shemel Pliny, or some other king. Lamar Klum, he didn't say anything. The finder can keep the coin. B'Leyayid, like how far this Chiddush goes. Ella, even if the guy wrote his name on the coin, he wrote his name on the $10 bill, and then he lost it, and he says, it's mine, look, my name's there, I wrote my initials in the corner, Larry McClum, he didn't say anything, you know why? Because you know what you do with money? You spend money, you give it to other people. So it's very nice he wrote his name on it, but it's very nice he had a new coin, but he may have spent it and given it to someone else, and may have fallen from that person, the fact that he gave the simon, that's not a good enough simon. There's no such thing as a simon for a coin, the Amar, because the finder says, Dumafuki Afka, maybe you've spent it, you've utilized the coin, and it fell from the second person. Zakta Mishnah. Matza achar gapa ayachar hagader. What if the item that was lost was found behind the fence or behind the wall? He found the following things. Gezolos b'kisharim, either young pigeons that were tied, or he found these young pigeons that were tied in the pathways of the field. You shouldn't touch them. This Mishnah comes, we spoke about the first two Mishnahs of the Perek, items that are lost that you don't have to call out, you got to keep because they don't have a simon, and items that are lost that you do have to call out because they clearly do have a simon. Now speaking about a new group of items over here in the Mishnah that aren't lost. We're saying these things aren't lost. Pigeons that have that are tied together and they're found behind the wall or they're found in the pathways of the field, they're not lost. Don't touch them. Don't keep them. Don't call them out. Just leave it. The person who left it there left it on purpose. If you find matzah kli b'ashba, you find the kli in the garbage. If the kli is covered, again, le'igaba. The guy left it there. Don't touch it. Don't call it out. Don't even touch it. In megula, but if it's uncovered, then you call it out. The difference being, again, in the case where it's uncovered in the garbage, the guy must have lost it. Therefore, his only hope of getting it is you calling it out. Kli has a simon, call it out. In a case where it's covered, put it down on purpose. His best shot of the guy getting it is leaving it where you found it so the person can come back and take it because he obviously left that purpose. Says more, my time up. Why in these cases, the first case where the birds were tied, the Mishnah says don't touch it. My time darminan, hani ishatsnu, the person hid it there on purpose. He put it by the fence for safekeeping. If he shakalun, if you take it, less lemarai lesimanim begabayo, he doesn't have any more simanim by which to reclaim it. Hilkul shavkinu, therefore better off let the person who finds it, let him leave it there. Adasi marai b'shakalu, this is a logic that a person has to use when he finds what seems to be a metziah is his best shot of the person who left it there, that the guy's going to remember to come back and get it, as opposed to taking it and trying to make it tzaddik to return, which is a nice act in general. But by taking it, you're now going to make it harder for him to get it, particularly if there's no specific simon besides for, if there's no simon, no identifying feature that the guy's going to be able to give you once he even finds you. Vamai, ask him what do you mean? Why are we saying there's no simon by the birds that are tied? Lavi kesha simana. Let the knot that was used to tie the birds be the simon. Gemara gives a simple answer. We're talking about where it was tied by the wings. It was tied in the manner of the usual manner of tying the birds, which is by their wings, and therefore there's nothing unique to this kesher. Therefore, that can serve as the simon. Ask Gemara still. Lavi makam simon. Why can't the makam be a simon? We're talking about birds that are able to hop from place to place. Therefore, the makam can't either be the simon. If they hop from place to place, you said that they're behind the wall. He put in their purpose. What do you mean? He's hop from place to place. Maybe they weren't put there in the first place. Maybe they just hopped to this spot. Maybe they came from the veld at large. They came from the world from elsewhere. And there for the shemutter. Says Gemara, you're right. You could say that it came from the veld. But you also could say that a person put there on purpose. Have a suffik yinuach. It's a suffik if it was placed there on purpose, or if they just showed up there by themselves. Any suffik yinuach, if lechatchila you should not take it, and if you took it, you wouldn't have to return it because there's no clear simon. But if lechatchila. Lechatchila, you don't take it because it's very possible it was put there on purpose. We have to be concerned for that possibility. It was left there on purpose, and therefore you should leave it for the guy to come back and get it. A couple more lines. Matzah kli ba'ashba. If one found a kli, we send the Mishnah, he finds a kli in the garbage, so it depends. If it's mechus, if it was covered, that means it was placed there purposefully. Just leave it there. Le'iga. Megul, if it's uncovered, night le'machrez, then you take it out and you machrez, so hopefully the fellow who has the simon will be able to come and reclaim it. For a minute, we have a steer, matzah kli, tam and ashba. If one finds a kli covered in the ashba, night le'machrez, shkinder ashba lishbais. The derech of the ashba is that every now and then they clean out the garbages, right? You don't just leave it there. They empty the garbages, and wherever they bring it, they empty it out. So if you find a kli, even though it's covered in the ashba, you should call out, says the b'risa. Amisha says, a kli covered in the ashba, you don't call it, you don't touch it, you leave it there. Stira, Amisha to the b'risa. Amrav zvid, like kasha, not a stira. Ha bekuvi v'kasi, ha besakina v'hamnik. It depends what we're talking about. The Mishnah was talking about barrels and cups, whereas the b'risa is talking about knives and what we call hamnik, knives or hamnik. It's some sort of kli, like instead of a knife, it's a kli, it's shaped like a Y. It's like a tongue, not like a tongue, it's like a poker, like it's shaped like a Y. Okay, either way, what's the chalik? The Gemara explains, if it's a knife or a kisi, then you shouldn't touch it, leave it there, because you assume that it was put there on purpose. It's not lost, it's not even lost in the first place. But a case of the See, sorry, by the barrels. The barrels and cups, you assume it's put there on purpose, and it's not lost, and therefore you don't touch it. But by the knives and the hamnik, those are the type of items that make sense that they got lost. When you're throwing out the garbage, you threw out some utensils, you know, throughout the tablecloth with some knives, unfortunately, or some forks from the tablecloth into the garbage, we assume that's lost, therefore you call it out. But a barrel and a cup, that's not the type of thing normally that you accidentally threw out. It must be, it was put there on purpose. That's answer number one. Rav Papa Amar, answer number two. Hava b'kuvi kisli. Both cases, we're talking about barrels and cups. I, why the Mishnah would say you'd leave it, and the Brisa would say you call it out. The Brisa says very clearly, you call it out because this is the ashpa, it's going to be cleared out. If it's going to be cleared out, the guy's going to lose everything. So therefore, even if he may have put it there on purpose, he's about to lose it because it's about to be cleared out. Therefore, you call out the lost item. Whereas garbage is not destined, it's not normally being cleaned out on a regular basis. You can assume, A, the guy put it there on purpose, and B, he's not going to lose it. He's going to come back and get it, and therefore, you don't call it out. Says Gemara, Ashba Slifanes, if the guy put his item, even if he put it there purposefully, not even, especially if he puts it purposefully in an Ashba that is Asri Lifanes, that's normal to be cleared out, you know what he is? It's Aveda Medas. He's throwing it out. Well, why are you returning over there? Aveda Medas. It's Aveda Medas. Ella, Ba'ashvashen of Fanais, Murray says, let's tweak the answer. Murray's sticking with the answer, but tweaking it. Ba'ashvashen of Fanais, Venimachle of Fanaisa. We mean like this. We're talking about a garbage in the first place that wasn't the derech to be cleaning out so regularly. But what happened was, the people, the owner, changed his mind and decided to clear out this ashba. So that's the case we were saying you better call it out because the guy put it there, even though he put it there on purpose, he didn't know it's going to be cleared out and therefore he's going to lose it. But in a case where it's not being cleared out, leave it there for the guy to come back and get it. According to Papa's answer, it makes sense, but that's what the Brisa says. Shekein derech ashba fanes, because that was the case of it was being cleared out. Ella lerv zvid. According to Zvid, that made a chiluk between the type of utensils, whether it's cups and barrels versus knives and pokers. So then, what's the point? What's the lashon b'risa? Shekein, my shekein derech ashbel fanes. What's the stress of derech ashbel fanes? Answer the Gemara: shekein derech ashbel fanes la kelim katanim. You have to tweak it and say it's the derech of the garbage to clear out the small kelim. So like the knives and the pokers, those are cleared out, but the larger cups and barrels aren't cleared out, and therefore that's the chiluk why in the Mishnah you're supposed to leave it there. In the b'risa, you're supposed to take it out. Tomorrow, Mitzvah Daf will be 5:50 a.m. back to regular time. Freilichen Perm.